So good seeing each one of you here this evening as we close another first day of the week, coming together to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to begin by suggesting this. We live in a society that is very religious. However, we are lacking in righteousness. Now let's stop and think about that for a moment. Let's take the Lakeland area. There are a lot of churches that profess Christ. Now, I'm not saying they're professing Christ doctrinally correct, but would you agree with me? There's a lot of congregations in this area professing Christ. I remember when we were in Illinois, once a month I would go to a small congregation in the city of Chicago. And from our place to that little small congregation in Chicago, I passed 35 churches that professed Christ. That's just on one street. So we cannot deny that we are a society that is very religious. Our society hasn't given up religion. The trouble is righteousness. As we go on, I'm reminded of Luke 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now again, I would suggest there are a lot of people calling Jesus Lord, Master, and authority, but they're not doing what he has to say. These are not bad people. These are people who are mistaught or who have chosen ways other than the truth, but they'll verbally say the Lord, but yet they don't follow his will. That being said, we find Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Again, I think we're in the latter half, the idea of sin is a reproach. We are in a great nation. We are in a religious nation. We even stamped on our money, our paper money, in God we trust. But it's all words, so to speak. We have not followed or are not following the way of righteousness. A phrase I often use in my title for tonight's lesson is religious but not righteous. I want to suggest to you this is one of the problems of trying to reach others. Others aren't looking because they're religious. Others aren't looking because they are not following the standard of righteousness. Others are not following or listening because they have been taught it really doesn't matter which way you go as long as you go some way. And though those might be acceptable to society, how does that correspond to the teachings of the Word of God? I'm glad you're here tonight as we study this very simple lesson, religious but not righteous. I want us to begin by going back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Very important to see that phraseology. Who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. What we have today, 2025, people are hungering and thirsting for religion. And there's a big difference between religion and righteousness. That's why you have some say, choose the church of your choice. See, that's after religion. The passage doesn't say that. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, when we talk about the righteousness here, W.E. Vines, who gives us the Greek words and turns them to English definition, he states for the word righteous in this text, it states whatever is right. That always causes confusion. Well, I knew that much. Give me more. Whatever is right or just in itself. Here's the point. Whatever conforms to the revealed will of God. Ah, now that's an addition we need to pay attention to. Whatever is revealed by the will of God. You see, people want religion. We don't have an atheistic society. Are there atheists in our society? Yeah, but they're becoming fewer and further in between. We have a very religious society. We have a society that will gladly profess Jesus is Lord. But why do you do those things and not submit to him? Another definition of righteousness is, comes from Thayer's. He's another who defines the words in English from the Greek. In this text, he says, the condition, and this is important, the condition acceptable to God. Notice, not the condition I preconceive, but the condition acceptable to God. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, uprightness, correctness in thinking, feeling, and acting. Now, his definition goes even further as we talk about righteousness. Remember, we started out, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, very simply, I ask, whose righteousness? God's righteousness. Where do we find God's righteousness? I think that's a valid question. If we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, where do I go for it? Well, God tells us the answer to that. The source of God's righteousness is in the Scriptures. Let's go to some passages. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we have recorded for us here, we're all familiar with this, and I'm not ashamed to share it with you again as we talk about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17, don't forget verse 17. For in it, now you would agree with me, that goes back to verse 16, right? The phrase for in it goes back to the gospel, right? As we go, for in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when we look at Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, speaking of God's righteousness, we have to go to the Word of God. Because God's righteousness, according to these passages, are in the gospel. But let's go to some other passages. Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, this is an occasion where they're rebuked because they hadn't grown like they should have, or some of them hadn't grown like they should have. And we have recorded for us in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. You've got to bear with me. This is a new Bible, which I love, but it's hard to get to the verses. It tells me in verse 13, as he's correcting them that they should be teachers and they need one to teach them again. Verse 13 says, for everyone who partakes only in the milk is unskilled in what? In the word of righteousness. Do you see that? Unskilled in the word of righteousness. What do you think that's speaking of there? That's speaking about the Scriptures, isn't it? God's righteousness is in the Scriptures. God's righteousness is in the gospel. They were unskilled in the words of righteousness. But let's go to another passage as we talk about his righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, turn with me if you will to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. We have recorded for us here verse 9. Very simple statement. Paul states, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness which is from God by faith. I think you'd agree with me when it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're talking about God's righteousness. Not talking about the Old Testament law, not something you've concocted, but God's righteousness. And therefore, to fulfill Matthew 5, 6, we've got to go to the faith, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What we're doing is we're explaining this is where God's righteousness is. It's in the word of God. But let's go to one other passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, all these verses we are familiar with, we use them over and over again, but we're just using the Word of God to explain itself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by what? By inspiration of God. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Look at this last one. For instruction in righteousness. Right? Where do we find God's righteousness? Within this book. So we take these four passages, or actually five sections of Scripture, and we tie them to Matthew 5, 6. Are we hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, which is contained in the gospel? And quite frankly, the answer is no. We want religion. We want to say, praise the Lord. We want to say, Jesus is Lord. We want to say, Jesus saves me. But we're not going to God's word to see how that's accomplished. But we have religion. Most people you come into contact with will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's good. But we need to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. And that means going to his word. Here's the problem. People are hungering and thirsting after religion, but are not looking for or willing to submit to the standard of righteousness. Wouldn't you agree with me? We ask the question, why is it so hard to reach people? Because they have religion. And they're not really concerned about God's righteousness. I have my religion, you have your religion, she has her religion, and the devil is just laughing. Because we've got thousands of religious groups proclaiming they love Jesus, but they're not submitting to God's righteousness. Do you see that problem today? That's one of the problems we face. To give you an illustration of that, let's go to some examples. In Romans chapter 10, let's go to Romans chapter 10. We have recorded for us in this text a very simple statement. He's talking about the Jews. We're going to read the first few verses in just a moment. The Jews were religious. We're going to see that. The Jews thought they were accepted with God because back in the Old Testament, they were God's chosen people. The Jews had the law and the prophets, hopefully leading them to Christ, but that didn't work because that's not what they wanted. Oh, let me stop here. And that doesn't work today. Because quite frankly, people don't want God's righteousness. They want just a portion of religion. Isn't that true? They want a tidbit of religion. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I want to stop at verse 1. That tells me they're lost. They didn't think they were lost, but they're lost. Verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God. Is it good to have zeal for God? Absolutely. Do you know a lot of people who have zeal for God, but they're not following God's standard? I do. Have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, here's the key, verse 3. I've got verse 3 highlighted in my Bible. For they, that's talking about those Jews who had zeal for God, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, right? We're talking about God's righteousness, right? Hunger and thirsting after righteousness. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. There's the problem. Do they have zeal for God? But they turn away from God's righteousness because they establish their own righteousness. Do you know people like that today? Do you know who people are being taught that today? Do you see it's hard to teach people because they've already convinced themselves it's okay what I'm doing? I don't really care what that preacher of the Lord's Church, Church of Christ, teaches because I feel okay. And the Jews were like that. So we shouldn't be surprised. You got to be hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. And to do that, you've got to go to the Word of God. People don't like to be challenged to be examining themselves. How dare you question my religion? Well, I'm not questioning your religion. I'm just questioning, are you following the standard of God's righteousness? Right? Because blessed are they not who hunger and thirst after religion. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember Proverbs 28, 26? Let's go back there. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. This is the problem that we face. You know, I scratch my head. Why don't we reach others? Well, this is one of the reasons why. People have religion. They don't feel a void because they've filled that void with religion. The trouble is, they haven't filled that void with God's standard of righteousness. But they don't really care often, because they've got their religion. And denominational preachers add to the problem when they say, choose the faith of your choice. The Bible doesn't teach that. And yet a lot of people sincerely believe that. You see the problem? So when you challenge them, they get upset. Who do you think you are? But it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, not after religion, but after righteousness. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. I've literally had people tell me, Chuck, I don't care what you show me. I feel I'm saved. You have people like that? I don't question that they're sincere, but they're basing their relationship with God by feelings instead of God's standard of righteousness. And by doing that, they don't look to God's standard of righteousness. I feel I'm saved. You don't feel you're saved. You know whether or not you're saved by doing God's will. You see, this is the problem we face as we try to reach people. Do they believe in Jesus? Sure they do. Do they believe he's the Son of God? Sure they do. Do they believe he died for our sins? Sure they do. But when it comes to how they're to act, they're going to follow their way, because I feel I'm okay. Don't mean to take much time, but when I was a Lutheran, I felt I was saved. I found out I wasn't, but I felt I was saved. So did my feelings make it right? No. Let's base it on feelings for money. Money, we all have an attraction to like money. Supposing you give me a $50 bill. You probably got a bunch of them in your pocket. Give me a $50 bill. And they say, Chuck, I need change for a 50. Okay, that's a simple, right? And I give you back $5. And your hand is still out there. And I say, what's the matter? You haven't given me change. Well, I feel that's okay. What do you mean you feel that's okay? Nobody's going to accept that, right? Because there's a standard. And there's a standard for righteousness. You get the point? We can understand that when it comes to dollars and cents. But when it comes to religion, we throw it out. Say, I just don't understand. You don't trust your feelings. You go to the standard. Righteousness, God's righteousness in the standard. 2 Timothy chapter 4, passage we used this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For a time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. In other words, they're looking for someone who tickles their ears. Do we have that today? Sure we do. In the name of God? Sure we do. Verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's not that the standard of righteousness is hard to understand, that you can't comprehend it. The fact is, they don't want to follow that standard. They want to follow someone that makes them happy. I like being happy. I have to confess, I'm not as happy as my wife. Sometimes I think she's too happy. But that's a whole different topic. Nothing wrong with being happy. But I can't eliminate the standard of righteousness simply because I want to feel happy. People are going to go to hell because they want to feel happy and they've never followed the standard. That's what we're faced with as we try to teach people. I just want to show you the problem we're facing. People want religion, but they want to avoid God's standard of righteousness. Matthew 15. Let's go to Matthew. We're not going to read all of that, but let's go to Matthew 15 so you see it at least, and maybe sometime you can turn to it. As we talk about, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see the problem? They're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And when you question them, they want to challenge you. Okay? It says, why do you, going to verse 3, he said, answering to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? You see, 1 and 2, Jesus and his disciples are being corrected for how they wash their hands. That was the tradition of men. I think I am going to read it. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, in other words, you get around the law of God, that's in the Old Testament. You say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it's a gift for God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God to no effect. Underline this, by your tradition. Now in the context, it's talking about the Jews. But do we have that problem today? Do we have that problem who don't follow the standard of righteousness? Because they follow the traditions that they were brought up with. You see the problem we face? Simple passage, Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. 5:6. But understand it, defining righteousness. And that's God's righteousness. Now let's move on. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, in Matthew 5:20, it states, New King James, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by in no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that statement does not make as great an impact on you and I as it would for the common Jew back in the first century. Because the common Jew in the first century elevated the Pharisees and scribes. They looked to the Pharisees and scribes as the ones to imitate because these are people of God. And Jesus just blew that out of the water. Can you imagine a Jew hearing that statement? And he's wondering, how in the world is my righteousness going to exceed the scribes and Pharisees? Because they walked about letting everybody know how righteous they were. They carried phylacteries to show how many scriptures they had known. They could quote, I'm sure, many Old Testament passages. Can you see a common Jew? How is my righteousness going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? I'm sure that perplexed them when Jesus told them that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. But as we look at this, we find this concerning that. Matthew 23. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Here's the answer, in my opinion, from my study of the scriptures, what Jesus was trying to teach. When he rebukes the scribes and Pharisees, oh, and by the way, I want to just stop for a moment, give you a side point that I think is as valid. I don't purposely intend to make people upset. But for my 40-some-odd years of preaching, I don't soft soap it. When God says this is what it is, that's what it is. You either fall in line with it or you don't. Now, like I said, the Jews of that time would look at the scribes and Pharisees as God's elite. Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Wow, that's pretty forceful, is it not? Who likes being called a hypocrite? especially the scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites, for you are like a whitewashed tomb, which indeed appear outward, beautiful outwardly, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. I want you to get, Jesus using a little bit of humor here. You know, you go into cemeteries, and we had some cemeteries in Illinois. They talk themselves as being the most beautiful cemetery. You know, no cemetery is beautiful because it's full of dead bones. Now, the outwards, you know, the grass might be nice and all the things out there, but the cemetery is not beautiful. There's a bunch of dead people there. Now, which one of you want to go up to a cemetery, dig it up, and pull out the bones? Not going to be a good thing, is it? He's talking to the Pharisees as we look. He said, inside you're full of dead man's bones. Now look at verse 28. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now what I have done in my study of the scriptures, I've tied these two verses together with Matthew 5:20. In Matthew 5:20, remember, it states very clearly, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. In other words, what I'm believing as I add this to that, don't make it an outward show. Don't make it an outward show. Make sure it comes from within. That's the righteousness God likes. Don't put on the act. Don't put on your Sunday best and live like the world the rest of the week. I believe that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about they're nothing but a show. They're nothing but a shell. Inside, they're full of dead man's bones. I think of that. I remember Romans 6:17. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Don't make it a show. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. Obeyed from the heart. Can someone come forward in the Lord's church and be baptized and simply got wet? Yeah. Now, we don't know that. That's up to the individual. But that's a possibility. I knew of a young lady many, many years ago who was very interested in this young man, and she wanted him to be a Christian, and he came forward the same day my wife and I came forward. Was baptized. But it was just a show. Fortunately, she found out before she said, I do. But it's very sad. She found out the day before her wedding. Can you imagine that? You got all your relatives there. You've got everybody there to be one of the most joyous occasions that you could have. I'm not making this up. This actually happened. And fortunately, she didn't think it was fortunate back then. But fortunately, he backed out. It was just a show. He didn't want the spirituality that she had. Oh, it devastated her at the moment. But at least it didn't devastate her for life. You can make a show of it, can you not? You can come forward, be baptized, say the right things, but you really don't want to do that. You're just doing it for a show. God knows what? The heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knew the scribes and Pharisees' heart. And he told the scribes and Pharisees and others, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the... In other words, don't let your righteousness be a show. Be genuine. Let's go to Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. In Acts chapter 11, we have recorded for us here. We're familiar. Again, all these passages, it's going to be monotonous for me to tell you we've seen this because we use all these passages many times. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, it has this recorded for us. When he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart they should cleave to the Lord. Purpose of heart cleave to the Lord. It's not just for an outward show. I can put on a show for a short period of time, but am I doing it from the heart? You can put out a show. And you know, we talk about a lot of different topics. The older I get, the more I'm convinced, got to work at the heart. I can talk about various topics, but unless it comes from the heart, it's just a show. Isn't it? Let's move on. Then we have in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works what? Righteousness. Now let's put it together. Where does this righteousness come from? God's word. But it's a righteousness you've got to put into application. Daily practical application. Not the righteousness you've come up with, but the righteousness within God's word. You see how this all ties together? I'm not trying to be arrogant. If you want to disagree with me, that's fine. But explain to me if this is not so. Explain to me if this is not so. You got to work righteousness. But it says, he who fears God, look at what it says there in Acts 10, he who fears God and works righteousness. May I suggest you will not work God's righteousness unless you fear God? We had that lesson last week, did we not? Here's the problem. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. You see, I see why it's hard to reach others because they're just plumb satisfied. They're like a toad on a lily pad who's just stuffed and don't bother me. And the trouble is, they're going to be boiled to condemnation because they don't examine. In Romans chapter 3, remember how this goes. Romans chapter 1, he showed that the Gentiles needed the gospel. And then he turned his attention to the Jews, that they too needed the gospel, that before they become high and mighty, you need the gospel also. But here's the problem. Talking about the Jews here, not the Gentiles. Romans 3:18. For there is no fear of God before their eyes. There's the problem. Do we have that today? Oh, I've got my religion. I don't care what you say. Well, you don't have to care what I say, but maybe you ought to care what God says. You're not going to stand before me to be accountable. You're going to stand before God. That's a big difference. That's why it doesn't matter whether we're together or whether we're apart. We're going to do what's right because God knows and sees everything I do. He knows that I can play a game for a few hours out of the week. But if I'm playing a game, I'm going to hell. You may not know that, but God knows that. I have to fear God and work right. Now, you see how we start? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness to exceed the Pharisees. Now be doers. Fear and work. Let's go to a couple passages along those lines. Titus chapter 2. So simple. God makes it so simple for us. And Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. How does the grace teach us? Through the word of his grace, Acts 20 and verse 32. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I've had brethren in times past say, no preacher's going to tell me how to live. You're right. No preacher has a right to tell you how to live. But God does. But God does. Right? And what does God want here? Well, as we go back and look at it again, he wants us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Do we have a lot of ungodliness and worldly lust today? We sure do. And he tells us to live soberly, righteously, and godly, not next week, but right now. Pretty simple. That goes along with Acts 10, 34 and 35. Fear and... I don't know about you. I get so excited when I see these all come together. How can you miss this? It's right there. But let's go to another passage. Romans chapter 13. And Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13 states, And do this, knowing the time is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, that's drinking parties, and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. So watch out here. See, I don't do those first things. Watch out for strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Doesn't say don't make provision for the flesh. We need to make provision. He that doesn't work doesn't deserve to eat. But we're not to make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Why? Because I'm to fear and work righteousness. God, now listen to me. You can go home and ignore this. That's totally up to you. But then you're not fearing God and working righteousness. You'll be held accountable. And you can deceive your brethren, but I want to tell you, you don't put the wool over God's eyes. It's not going to happen. Never has and never will. I can pull the wool over my wife's eyes a little bit. After 50 some odd years, it's scary. We get to start thinking alike. That is downright scary. But I can't pull the wool over God's eyes. I need to fear Him and work righteousness, following His will. So when somebody tells me, no one's going to tell me how to live, well, yes and no. Yes, no one of this earth has to tell you, but God has the right to tell you how to live. And that's working righteousness. And if you don't want to do it, there's no one that can make you do it. It's up to you. Have reverential fear and work righteousness. One more point in the lesson's years. It's so simple. You know all this, but it's good to refresh our memories. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and here we go with the topic of righteousness again, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you like me? I don't like having to call a doctor or call someone. Stupidest message I've ever heard. Your call is important to us. You ever hear that? And you're sitting on the line for 20 minutes. I told one person that finally answered, I guess my call wasn't too important. And they laughed. We're very busy, Mr. If I owned a company, I'd never put that in there if I couldn't get the call in the first few minutes. Right? The point is this. They say, well, you're a priority to us. Let me put you on hold. That's what we do to God. God, you're a priority to me, but wait a minute. I got to do this. You're a priority, but there's other things that have to... In fact, God gives us an illustration of that. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. And Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. Religious but not righteous. Do we have that problem today? Yeah, we do. I hope it's not a problem with you, but we have that problem as we reach others. Just understand that as you're trying to teach others. As you bat your head against the wall because you don't see the success rate, we've got a society who's been totally deceived. And therefore, they really don't have a care because they've been deceived. Because their preacher told them, well, I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what I... Go back to the Word, see what it says. We have here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, very simple, we're familiar with this. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Wow. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are of my house. But Jesus said to him, No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you something here. Is God forbidding us to go to funerals? No, that's not. If you look in those passages, the idea is first. Let me first go bury. No, you first serve God. Let me first. And isn't that how we are? Oh, I'm going to serve you, Lord, but just give me a moment. I've got to say goodbye to my family. No. The kingdom of God is to be first. First when? Sunday? Yeah. Monday? Tuesday? Wednesday? Thursday? Friday? Saturday? Sunday. I think people don't understand that when they make a commitment to obey the gospel, first of all, you're obeying the Lord. You've been born again according to His standard. And it requires a life of effort to live His way. God has told us how to live. What's your purpose of life? Live for God. That's what a Christian's to do. When? First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what it says there, but not hard to understand. One more passage. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. You see, when you go back to the nuts and the bolts of the gospel, people don't like the message. They like the message that Jesus died for them. Who wouldn't? I like the message that Jesus died for me. But they don't like the message because it requires something upon us. Now, that doesn't give us eternal life. The blood of Christ gives us eternal life. But we have to put God's kingdom first. I don't know how to get people to put God's kingdom first. If you know the answer, you tell me. I can give you the scripture, but to try to get someone to do it, it's up to them. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, are we in that kingdom which cannot be shaken? Absolutely. Colossians 1. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. When does God want me to seek His kingdom? First. Not second, not third, not fifth, but first. Only you can make your priority list. Only I can make my priority list. Is He first? Is He first in my life? Is my righteousness exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Am I hungering and thirsting after righteousness or after religion? Again, I'm not against people studying whatever method you have to study, because we need to study. And I'm not against people memorizing verses. But if you're not putting them into life, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. You're not like, just like the Pharisee then. You memorize or you learn so you can put it into life. I'm not hindering you if you want to study your Bible from cover to cover. Nothing wrong with that. But let me put it this way. This is what you need to remember. Are you applying it? Are you applying it? Because that's what God's righteousness is, to apply it. We close with this passage. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But he loves him, that means the Lord, he loves him who follows righteousness. That's the righteousness in this book. Are you following that righteousness? Only you can do it. I don't want you to do something that you've been shanghaied to force to do. You need to do it willfully. Because it's going to take effort. It's not always going to be easy, but it's always going to be good. And follow that righteousness. Are we hungering and thirsting and applying God's righteousness on a daily basis? Are you here this evening and you need to be baptized? Because that's what God's righteousness teaches. You need to be baptized in water baptism to come into contact with his blood. Now, if you understand that and you're not doing it, understand this. If you understand that and you're not doing it, you're not disobeying me. You're disobeying the one who created heaven and earth. That makes a big difference. And those of us who have done that, are we living according to righteousness? Again, not because the preacher said so, not because the elder said so, not because mom said so, not because dad said so, not because grandpa said so, because this said so. And God sees all that I do and knows the innermost of my heart. Are you subject to the gospel call as we stand and as we sing?